Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hallelujah. Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I count it as great privilege and a wonderful honor to be in this great and a wonderful church of Painesville Assemblies of God. I'm so grateful to our beloved pastor, Aaron Taylor, and the entire church leadership for extending your invitation for me to come and be part of you in this service and also share the word of God. To tell you the truth, I have so much fallen in love with this church. And if ever I were to move and live here in Ohio and in Painesville, guess what? I'll make this to be my church. You have great pastor wife, great fellowship, wonderful sanctuary, great worship experience. Where else to be but here? Before I share, I would like first to introduce my family a little bit and also my country. As our beloved pastor have said, I am the husband of one beautiful wife, and her name is Glad Mary. Indeed, she lives up to her name, for she keeps me glad and merry all the time. We have been married for 31 years, and the Lord has blessed us with 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. They are both serving the Lord with us back in Tanzania. And concerning our nation, Tanzania, Tanzania is one of the 54 countries located in the continent of Africa. And our land size is twice of California. And it's very much known to be the land of Mount Kilimanjaro. That's where the second highest mountain of the world is located. And socially and linguistically, we speak about 155 languages. For we have 155 tribes, but we are united in the sense that we have one national language, which is Swahili. And we all speak Swahili in Tanzania. It's very easy language to learn. You want to try to speak some Swahili? Yes. I'll teach you how to greet in Swahili. This is how we greet each other. How are you? That is hujambo. Yes, hujambo. And you reply fine, which is in Swahili, sijambo. Sijambo. Okay, now get ready. I'm going to greet you in Swahili. Here we go. Hujambo. Hujambo. You have spoken perfect Swahili. Bless you. And you can add that now in your resume that you also speak Swahili. Yes, why not? And population-wise, we are about 55 million people. And religiously speaking, of the 55 million people, about 32 to 38% are Muslims, and 35% are Roman Catholics, and 14 to 20% are animist. By animist, we mean that they practice voodooism, witchcraft, and ancestor spirit worship. And we have only 17 to 19% evangelicals, Pentecostals included, and we have over 40,000 identified places without a Bible-believing church. And according to the United Nations Economic Index, we are rated to be one of the poor countries of the world. And so you can see from those statistics that we, the Church of Christ in Tanzania, we are facing an enormous challenge of outreach, for we have a challenge of reaching all those people groups with the gospel of our Lord, and also a challenge to plant churches to over 40,000 places without a church, and a challenge to address the urgent poverty situation of our people. And we believe that we cannot address all those challenges by ourselves. We need all the partnership and all the networking we can get. And that's why I am here for two reasons. First is to thank you for allowing your pastor and supporting your pastor, Brother Taylor, to come and visit us in Tanzania. His coming was such a blessing to the entire body of Christ in Tanzania, and it was such a source of encouragement for us, for we know that we are not alone. We have brothers and sisters from Pennsville, our First Assembly, who are working with us. So I deeply thank you all, and may God richly bless you. I also am here to invite you to continuously come along and partner with us, for the challenges are still immense. We need your partnership and your investment, and let us work together in winning Tanzania for Jesus. Mission doors are wide open, so I want to say, come one and come all. And all the people said, Amen. Now, let us get into the word. Let us get into the word of God. The title of our sharing is, Let Us See the World. Our text is the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16, all the way to 34. But in order to save time, we will not read all the verses. For now, we will read verses 16 to 18 and continue to expound other verses as we go along with the sharing. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that empower me now and energize me in a special way as I share your word. Open our hearts so that your word will be imprinted in us and cause us to win our city, our state, and this nation to you through the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I will read. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. May God bless the reading of his word. Our text says, while Paul was waiting for them, who are they? Silas and Timothy in Athens. He was greatly distressed to see that the city of Athens was full of idols. The King James Version states that his spirit was stirred within him as he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The context or background of these verses is that Paul had most recently been in Thessalonica and Berea proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. But because of the persecution, the pressure on him, and the dire need to literally save his life, Paul fled Berea and came to Athens, where he was waiting for his colleagues and partners in ministry, Silas and Timothy, to join him. While there, the Bible tells us, he began to walk through the city of Athens. Paul walked through the many idols that had been raised all around the city. Athens has been described by one historian as the forest of idols and shrines. Every imaginable god that anybody in the world worshipped at that time was worshipped in Athens. As the center of art, literature, and philosophy for that part of the world, Athens attracted everybody interested in any kind of religion. The Athenians were very religious, devout people. The Bible tells us the Athenians even built a shrine for a known god just to make sure they had everything covered. They wanted to be sure every god was appeased. And the Bible continued to tell us, as Paul walked through that city, he was very provoked. The words used in verse 16, greatly distressed, means to be provoked to a point of anger. Paul was very upset. not with individuals living in Athens, but at what he saw all around him. And the more he saw, the more distressed he became. The more he saw, the more provoked he became, until it welled up within him to the point that he could contain it no longer. And the Bible tells us he began to speak. He began to preach. He spoke in the marketplace day by day with Jews and Greeks. He spoke in the synagogues. He spoke to the philosophical group known as Epicureans, who believed that the chief aim and the goal of life is happiness and pleasure. He spoke to another philosophical group known as Stoics, who believed that everything in nature was God and could be worshipped. He spoke to the wise men on Mars Hill. He spoke to the government leaders. And the Bible tells us, every time he spoke with them, he talked about the one they have never heard of before, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. He spoke to them about Jesus' death, about Jesus' burial, about his resurrection. He called them to repent and receive Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us that people opened their hearts, and some of them received Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, there are great historical facts in these verses. And what a story it is. But the important question for us today is, what does it have to do with us today? In other words, how does this true story apply to us in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in the United States, you know, today? I believe the principles contained in these verses are very applicable in our current situations. First, these verses tell us that there is sin in the world. There is sin in our world. If you read newspapers, watch television, listen to the radio, open the internet, you will see and read number of articles that present the virality and the immensity of sin present in our world today. I'm asking you, take the blinder off and see the world for what it is. Really, see the grossness of the sin and the horribleness of the sin. The atheism, the agnosticism, the materialism, the humanism, the secularism, the communism, the liberalism, the paganism, the sensualism, the terrorism, and the many other isms present out there. Like Paul, let it affect you to the point where your heart is broken and your spirit is stirred because you see sin all around you.
Let it affect you, not so you become judgmental and condemning, like the way other people has become, but rather so that you will be able to pray diligently and fervently about it, and allow God to work through you to come up with vision, goals, and strategies to help those who are experiencing problems and are tormented by sin, and help those who are doing something to reach the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is out there looking for men and women who are biblically committed to receive a vision from Him and create goals and strategies who will mobilize the church, cast vision, and sensitize the people, who will be willing to take risks and overcome obstacles to reach our city, our state, and our nation through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And let that person be you. Hallelujah. Second, realize there are souls in the world. In this world, we tend to categorize and classify people based on their different kind criteria, including such as color of their skin, the amount of income they earn, the kind of the employment they have, the amount of education they have, the kind of house they live in, the kind of car they drive. We describe them as middle class, as high class, as lower class, as white, as black, as Asian. What a tremendous variety of categories we use to classify people. But in the process of doing that, we miss it. I'm asking you to look beyond all that and see these people not for who they are on the outside, but who they are in the inside. They are souls who all need Christ. They are souls who all need to be saved and delivered and be healed. That is all. In Athens, Paul saw souls, the Epicurean philosophers, the Stoic philosophers, the leaders on Mars Hill, the Jews in their synagogues, the Greek and other people in the marketplace. Who were they? People who needed Christ. Souls who needed to be reached with the gospel of our Lord. They had an eternal spirit and they needed to be saved. When you read the Gospels, you will find that during Jesus' earthly ministry, he also saw souls. And he did something significant about it. When he saw Zacchaeus, he saw a soul in need of salvation. And Jesus did something about it. when he saw blind Bartimaeus, he saw a soul in need of a miracle. And Jesus did something about it. When he saw a little woman who had the issue of blood, he saw a soul in need of healing. And Jesus did something about it. When he saw Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, he saw a soul in need of supernatural intervention. And he did something about it. When you see your neighborhood, people in the working place, people whom you have frequent contact with, when you see our city, our state, our nation, what do you see? You see, Jesus saw people as people whom he came to save, as people whom he came to deliver, as people whom he came to heal, and he did something about it. Today, all over the world, we have people who are the lonely souls, the lost souls, the angry souls, the rejected souls, the hurting souls, disappointed souls. They all need to be saved. That's why Jesus commanded us in Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be re-anointed with fresh anointing to preach the gospel to every person in our city, in our state, in our nation than ever before. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be revisited with fresh fire of renewal and a revival which will reignite our God passion for great harvest of winning the lost world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, will renew our commitment and determination to win the world for Jesus Christ. For I believe with all my heart that Jesus and only Jesus is the true answer for the world today. Let us give him glory and honor in the house of God. Third, realize there is a Savior in the world. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say after me out loudly and in unison, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Say it. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You can do better than that. Again, Jesus Christ, the Son of the... You can do better than that again. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, if we only talked about the sin in the world and the souls in the world, we could become awfully depressed. Sin is everywhere. Every place you turn, you find sin, and all the souls are affected by it. But remember that, even though there is sin in the world, and there are souls to be saved in the world, there is also a Savior in the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is who Paul told the Athenians about. This one, Jesus Christ, who rose again, he said, he is Lord and Savior. And Paul preached to them. I mean, he preached to them. He hammered them hard with the gospel. And many of them opened their hearts and received the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, there is a Savior in the world. He is the compassionate Savior. He is a delivering Savior. He is an able Savior. He is an ever-present Savior. He is a giving Savior. He is a faithful Savior. He is a healing Savior. He is the interceding Savior. He is a just and righteous Savior. He is a kind Savior. He is a loving Savior. He is a miracle working Savior. He is the all-present Savior. He is the all-knowing Savior. He is the all-powerful Savior. He is a risen Savior. He is a weeping Savior. He is a transforming Savior. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one come to the Father but through him. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the soon coming King. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us right now is that when we look into the world and our neighborhood, our workplace, our schools, and everywhere, we should not only see the sin and allow it to grip our hearts. Not only see people as souls who all need help, but also see the Savior who can make the changes that are necessary in any person's life. For I believe not a single individual in this world is beyond the help of our Almighty God. For Jesus can rescue. Jesus can save. Jesus can deliver if we only allow him to have his way. For I believe with all my heart, Jesus' power far surpasses any other power in the universe. Yes. Jesus' greatness far surpasses any other greatness in the universe. Yes. Jesus' authority far surpasses any other authority in the universe. For no one is greater than our Lord. Yes. For no one is higher than our Lord. Yes. For no one is able than our Lord. Amen. That's why I believe with all my heart that Jesus, and the only Jesus, is the true answer for the world today. Amen. Let us give him glory and honor in the house of God. Fourth, realize there is a soul winner in the world. There is a soul winner in the world. The question is, who do you think that soul winner is? The preacher? The pastor? No. All of us. Each of us. You are the soul winner of Pennsylvania, of Ohio, of United States of America, and of the world. Paul was the soul winner to Athens. Paul could be overwhelmed by all the sin and by people dying without hope. But instead of being overwhelmed with all that he saw, with all sin and by people dying without hope, Paul decided to make a difference. Paul decided to make an impact by taking Christ, who is the answer, to Athens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Tanzania, we, the Assemblies of God Church, like Paul, has decided to make a difference, to make an impact by taking Christ to more than thousands of villages without a church. And we use church planting as a means of doing evangelism. Our goal is to raise 10,000 new pastors who will plant 10,000 new churches. And these new churches will reach out and win and assimilate 2 million new members in our fellowship. And our strategy is very simple. We plant a church planter in an enriched area, and he or she becomes a spark of a new church. Let me conclude by telling you a story of one of our church planters called Pastor Thomas. A few years ago, I visited into the town of Rombo to meet with our church planter called Pastor Thomas, who planted a new church on the slope of Mount Kilimanjaro. Thomas filled us on the details. The Lord awakened him one night to take his wife and go higher up the mountain to pray overnight. They both obeyed, and as they prayed, they saw their enemies from another religious group come to their house, bar the doors, and set fire to the thatch roof. Thomas and his wife lost everything but their lives. When they walked through the village the next morning, most people thought they were seeing ghosts. The fire caused a great loss, but the safety of Thomas and his wife caused people to listen to his bold proclamation of the gospel. And that led to the salvation of several in the area on the slope of Mount Kilimanjaro. And now, from this church alone, over 30 new daughter congregation has been started. Glory be to God. Such church planters as Thomas are the greatest resource the Lord has given unto us as the Assemblies of God Church in Tanzania. As I was traveling throughout the country, sensitizing, casting vision, and enlisting the church to reach Tanzania for Jesus. Over 8,000 male and female, young and old, came forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, declaring that God has called them to go into dark places of our country and reach those areas through church planting, like Paul and like Brother Thomas. And in order to educate them, train them, and commission them to go and plant churches in these unreached areas of our country, we decided to start 55 ministers training schools, which we call church planting schools. And in the past years, already up to now, over 5,000 of them have already graduated and have gone out to plant churches in the dark corners of our country. In the past 9 years alone, we have planted over 7,600 new churches. But those who have graduated have done so with much hardship and difficulties, because we use mud and thatch building as a boarding minister's training school. So in the past few years, we have decided to come up with a project of building simple but adequate facilities to train these church planters and commission them so that we can multiply the number of churches which we plant across the country. And so far, with God's help, of the 55 ministers' schools, we have already constructed 35 of them. And we are still remaining with 20 schools to finish the project. It cost only $33 to put up one minister's training school called Church Planting School. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, I ask you to partner with us in this project. One evangelist once said, "The opportunity of lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity." I believe we have a lifetime of opportunity of transforming Tanzania through the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you partner with us so that these remaining 20 church planting school facilities will be built? The result will be 10,000 newly commissioned church planters who will plant 10,000 new churches, in order that Tanzania may be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as waters covers the sea. As I conclude, Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. Instead of being overwhelmed by all the sin in our city and by people dying without hope in our state and in our nation, we could decide, like Paul, to make a difference in our neighborhood, to make an impact in our workplace, to take Jesus, who is the answer, to them, and let us partner together in transforming our city, our state, our nation, and Tanzania with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus, and only Jesus, is the true answer for the world today. Let us give him glory and honor in the house of God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.